name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, amen.
Amen.
God, our enlightenment, guardian angels, strengthen the lights of our minds, Lord, illumine our images, and arouse us to consider more correctly. St. Thomas Aquinas, angelic doctor,
pray for us.
Help us to understand all that you've written. Father, the Son, Holy Spirit, amen. Did I mention how I was looking at Thomas's exposition there of the 21st psalm and the correct numbering, which is kind of, I guess, the first of the penitential psalms, and the major one, I guess. And it's got a lot of things you're familiar with, like, you know, it begins with the words that Christ uses on the cross in Matthew and in Mark. My God, why hast thou forsaken me? And it has the words that, you know, that prayer we say after communion sometimes, in front of the crucifix and so on. But, and then you quote David, what David said about you years ago. And that's in that psalm, right? Mm-hmm. And things about divine garments and or that sort of thing. But Thomas is something kind of interesting. Going back to what he said about metaphor and so on, he's saying that David here in this psalm is a figure of Christ. And the psalm is about Christ. David is just there as a figure of Christ. Mm-hmm. And he mentions that Theodorus Mopsuetinus, whoever he was, but I know him from the Summa Contra Gentiles, you know, the heresies in various forms, but he was condemned at some council for denying that the psalm was about Christ. Huh? Yeah. So it seems kind of something a little additional to what Thomas is saying. Huh? You know, you wouldn't say that David was a metaphor for Christ, right? But he seems to say there, if I read the text correctly, that the letter is Christ, mm-hmm. and that David is a figure. Mm-hmm. So that's kind of adds another subtlety to what we mean by the sense of the letter, right? Now, is it, you know, when you say that God is a rock, we're saying that the sense of the letter is not that God is a rock. And there's a true sense based upon the false sense. No, the sense of the letter is what the metaphor is meant to represent, right? Mm-hmm. By likeness. Well, what is the sense of the letter of the 21st Psalm? Is it David, who then represents Christ in turn, or does it represent Christ directly, and David is really something more like a metaphor because he's called a figure there? Mm-hmm. You know? It's kind of a subtle thing, huh? But you look at the text again, yeah, I should look at it again myself, but I think it's kind of a subtle thing. It shows how very careful a writer Thomas is. Huh? Because there are other things, obviously, people in the Old Testament where we'd say the sense of the letter is the man, you know, that it seems to be written about, and that man in turn signifies what?
Yeah.
The thing signifies Christ, right? But in this case, it's more like the metaphor, right? But the sense of the letter is not the metaphor that God is a rock, but the that which is a figure, right? By metaphor. Okay. I was going on there, kind of rereading with that nice little addition you gave me. I mean, and the 24th Psalm there, he's talking about getting to God and getting to heaven, right? And of course, sometimes it's a little frustrating to go from the English, you know, text to the Thomas's, because the Latin text he has doesn't quite fit your English text, so he's responding to the Latin words. And in the Latin words, you have the psalmist praying for the via, which is the way, the road, and the semita, the path, yeah. And Thomas says, well, the via is the main road, the common road, right? That everyone has to take, right? The semita is the brief road, huh? The short road, right? Get you there quicker. And then he explains in terms of the what? The difference between the commands, right? Which you have to obey in order to get to heaven, you know? And then the counsels, right? That's the short way, the brief way to get there quickly, you know? And this new little grandchild named after St. Teresa de Silla, going back reading Teresa a little bit, you realize what a short path she took to such high sanctity. I was only at the age of what, 15 was it? And she died, was it 24 about?
Yeah, 23.
20, something like that. Okay. But a very short life, you know. And went a long way. But it was a semitar, right? Because she really, you know, got in there with the consul very much in mind. And kind of interesting. But something like that, too, with Thomas here, huh? I was trying to find the text, but couldn't remember exactly where it was. But I think it's one of the popes, and when he talks about Thomas, right? Quote somebody with more or less, you know, support. That you can learn more from a year of studying Thomas than from, you know, I don't know, many years, whatever it is, of studying the church fathers, right? So that's kind of a reason to concentrate on Thomas, right? It's a scimitar, right? what does Albert the Great call summa? Id est brevis via. That's true. About Thomas, you can learn more in a shorter time and a shorter path than, you know, the church fathers kind of spread out and a little more loose, huh? Not that you shouldn't read the church fathers, but there's some reason for reading Thomas especially. Okay, we're up to question 2, article 3, right? Whether God is, right? And to the third, he proceeds, one proceeds thus. It seems that God is not. Huh? Because if one of the two contraries was infinite, right, it would totally, what? Destroy the other, right? But this is understood in the name God, that he be something that is an infinite good, right? Mm-hmm. There's no end to God's perfection, right? If therefore God were, nothing bad would be found. Huh? Okay, but there is found something bad in the world. Therefore God is not, right? So this touches upon what Thomas says, I think, elsewhere, is like the chief objection to the existence of God. Mm. And Thomas has a commentary in the book of Job. I have in the Leonine, a great big volume. But the book of Job is, when Thomas divides the books of sacred scriptures, he sees the book of Job as being ordered to faith. Huh? And to the defense of faith against the chief objection, huh? Which is objection from the evil in the world. Huh? So you all maybe, you know, heard of Jews, say, maybe who turned away from even their faith because of the Holocaust. How could, you know, God allow such things, right? Huh? Okay. So this is an appropriate first objection, huh, that Thomas is giving. Okay, now the second objection is a little bit different, huh? It's like when I consider, you know, the question in natural philosophy, and I think we did it in here, didn't we? Whether nature acts for an end. And I give some of the arguments against nature acting for an end, as well as the arguments for. Then later on, we untie these objections against nature acting for an end. But some objections were saying that nature couldn't act for an end, right? Like this first one, saying, well, there couldn't be an infinite good if there's evil in the world, right? Now, the last objection I have against nature acting for an end was that some people think we can do it with fewer principles, right? Mm-hmm. Fewer causes. And therefore, why do you have to have another cause, right? Okay? And that can be solved or answered too. But this second objection is a little bit like that. Huh? Moreover, what is able to be completed through fewer beginnings, huh? Through fewer causes, does not come to be through many, huh? And this is a basic beginning in natural philosophy. Huh? Mm-hmm. Aristotle uses it himself, and the modern physicists say this is the fundamental beginning. Huh? If you look at Newton's, you know, Principia, that's his fundamental principle. Nature is pleased with simplicity, he says, and affects not the pomp of superfluous causes. Okay, so this is a famous thing. But it seems that all the things which appear in this world can be completed through other beginnings, huh? Through other causes, even supposing that God is not, because those things which are natural can be led back to the beginning or cause, which is nature, and those things which are from the will, proposing to, that's one way of speaking of the will, are reduced